We had minutes to win it on Friday night. Is that right, Andrew? And I guess Andrew has a little junk in the trunk. We got a little video clip we'd like you guys to check out while he's being welcomed up. Nothing to do with this.
There's a reason they didn't ask me to do that today. Some things can't be done on Sunday morning. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you dads. You know, it's such an honor to be a father. This morning, I have four kids, and sort of at the beginning of my days as a father, my oldest is eight, and it really is a great honor to be a father, and then also to give honor to our fathers, to my father. I give honor today to my dad, who today is still my hero and still a champion for me, leading the way in terms of how I am following him as he follows Christ, and the time that he spent with us as kids, the resource that he still is for me today. And so today we're just going to spend a little time talking about honoring our dads. And so if you have your bulletin, you can pull that out if you'd like to follow along. Inside there is just a brief outline. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking this morning, but I do think it is important for us to remind ourselves of the importance of honoring our Heavenly Father and honoring our earthly fathers. And I don't know what your relationship is like this morning with your Heavenly Father or with your earthly father, but I do know that our dads are worthy of honor. And you may have an earthly dad that disappointed you. You may have an earthly dad that has hurt you. But still, we are commanded in Scripture to honor our dad. And how can we do that? I want to talk a little bit about that today. Billy Graham said this. He said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." And I think that's the truth. I heard recently that one person called Father's Day the Rodney Dangerfield of holidays, that somehow dads often don't get the respect that they truly deserve. And we know we have an epidemic. We talk about it a lot. We hear about it in political circles and social circles, an epidemic of fatherlessness in our country today. And I just want to say to those of you fathers that are sticking it out, that you're there for your family, we give honor to you this morning. Dads matter. We know that dads matter. Let me give you a couple of statistics about fathers and the importance of fathers. This one just really surprised me because I knew it was true, but I'd never heard it actually put in numbers. It's this. It's been discovered that when a father leads the way spiritually, 93% of family members are likely to follow him, as opposed to only 34% of family members when a mother attempts to take the same spiritual role. Wow, the power of a father when he makes a decision, when he gets up in the morning, he says, "You know, family, we're going to go to church today." There is an incredible impact that just flows out of that, that can have repercussions for generations to come, that can change the whole destiny of the family. 93% of family members are going to follow, or likely to follow, a dad who says, "I'm going to lead the way spiritually." Powerful, powerful thing. A couple other stats. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. They are more likely to get A's. They're more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. They're less likely to be depressed. They have fewer school behavior problems and have higher self-esteem. We know that teenage girls with involved fathers are less likely to be sexually active at an early age. Dads make a difference. It goes on and on and on. With the significance of a father who's engaged with his family makes a powerful difference. And go, Dad, take those kids out of here. I like that. Dads make a difference. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We are commanded in the book of Exodus, it's one of the Ten Commandments, to honor our father and mother. And so today we want to honor our dads. And I want to just talk, first of all, about our God in heaven, our Father in heaven, our Abba Father, and just three ways that I believe we can see how we can honor our daddy God. Abba Father is used, that term Abba is used only three times in Scripture. They're all in the New Testament. And it's actually an Aramaic term. It was a common language of the day. Jesus used it to refer to God. And it simply is a term of endearment about dad, about father. It meant daddy. It meant dada. It meant pop. So whatever term of endearment that you might use to call your dad that expresses love and connection with him, that's what Abba is. It's when my daughter wakes up in the morning and she comes to me and she says, dada, you know, and that there's something that melts in my heart because I know that it indicates a connection between us. And we see three Abbas in Scripture, and I want to look at these three just because I think they illustrate for us three ways that we can honor our daddy God. St. Augustine said this, how lucky we are to have discovered that God is our Father. It is an amazing thing that we have a God that not only is the creator of the universe, that not only has created us, but he has called himself our Father, that he has decided to have a relationship with us of the kind that a father and a son, a daughter and a father can have. And that is not something that he had to do. That is simply something he desired to do with us. How wonderful it is that our God is also our Father. So the three Abbas are, first of all, the Abba of submission. And this is in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 36. And these verses will be on the screen this morning. If you have a Bible, you're welcome to turn there, Mark 14, 36. And it simply says this, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. And this is Jesus speaking in the garden the day before he was going to be crucified on the cross. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what your will is. And so here's Jesus. He knows what's going to happen the next day. He knows he's called to go to the cross, to die for our sins, your sins and my sins, to give himself as the Lamb for the world, for the sins of the world. And he's in the garden, and he knows what's going to happen, and he just does not want it to happen. I mean, can you imagine? He's going to go to the cross, and he's going to die tomorrow. But not only is he going to die, he's actually going to take on all the sin of the world, and that weight of the sin is going to cause Father God to turn from him in that moment, that he's going to actually have to turn away from him. And Jesus, in a way that had never been experienced by him before, is going to experience a separation from Father God. I mean, if there is ever a perfect picture of a father-son relationship, that is Jesus and Father God, because Jesus said, whatever I say because I hear my Father saying it. Whatever I do because I hear my Father doing it. And they had an intimate relationship, and he was looking to the cross that night, and he knew that relationship was going to be broken in that moment, that he would take on all of the sins. And yet Jesus says in that hour, Lord, I don't want to do it. I know what's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to it. If there's any way this doesn't have to happen, please don't let it happen. And yet, not my will, but your will. He says, Daddy God, if there's any way, don't let it happen. But Daddy God, I trust you enough that if I must do it, I will do it. Because I trust you and I love you and I know that your love is enough for me. And he, in that moment, submits to Daddy God, to Abba Father. And that's the model for us. The Abba of submission is the Abba that says, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. I can't see. I don't understand what's going on in the circumstances of my life. I don't know why this has happened. I don't know how I got here. But Lord, I know that you know best. I know that you know, Dad, because you can see and I can't see. When I was a kid, my dad took time. He got down on a knee, and I was probably 5 or 6, and he said, "Son, when we're out walking, when we're in a parking lot, when we're crossing the street, I want you to listen to what I have to say. Because if I tell you to stop in that moment, it's because I'm a little bit taller than you, and I can see over the cars that you can't see, and I can see down the street in a way that you can't see down the street. And so if I tell you to stop, you need to listen, because I'm thinking the best for you, because I don't want you to get hit by the car that you can't see that's coming down the street." And so my dad taught me, hey, submission's a good thing. Why? Because dad can see more than we can see. Submission to Abba Father, to Daddy God, the one that can see everything, the one that can see tomorrow just as clearly as he can see yesterday. He's not limited like we're limited to see our circumstances and just our frame of reference, just to see what's going on today. He sees it all. And when we say, "Daddy God, I trust you," that Abba is a way that we honor our Father in heaven. Lord, we say we honor you today by submitting our will to you. Not my will, Lord, but your will, because your way is the best. The second Abba is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It's the Abba of identity. The Abba of identity. It says this in Romans chapter 8, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." This is the cry of identity, the Abba of identity. It's the understanding of who we are in relationship with Father God, that we are his sons and his daughters. And that's different. That's a different kind of relationship. That's a unique relationship. To be a son and a daughter means that you have certain rights. It means you have a heritage. It means you have an inheritance. When my kids come into the office, they know they can come right in the door. They don't have to knock. They can come right in. Why? Because they're my sons. They're my daughters. If I'm on the phone with one of you and my son or my daughter calls, I'm going to hang up with you. It's not because I don't love you. It's because my son and my daughter is calling me, and they have first rights. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're not just related to him as a distant cousin. We're not just part of the family just because, you know, he felt nice one day and said, "Well, yeah, you can kind of be in the room." No, no. We're a son and we're a daughter, and all the rights and all the privileges and all the confidence that comes with those rights is something that we have today. And so that's why we can walk into the throne room of God this morning with full confidence, not because of what we've done, what we have done or what we haven't done, not because of anything other than the relationship that we have with him, that we say, "Daddy, Daddy, would you please?" And he hears us and he listens and he's right there because of who he is. That's the Abba of identity. When we get settled in our mind who we are, that we are not someone that has been left alone, that we are not someone that's outside, but we have been brought into the family such that I know who I am. Come on, Charles, that I know who I am. That is a powerful thing. Get me excited, Charles. You know it. John 1:12 says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." That's your right. That's my right today. If you know Father God, if you know Jesus, then you have become one of his children. And so we say, "Abba, Father," with confidence. "Daddy God," with confidence, because we know we are beloved sons and daughters of Zion, of the Most High. The third Abba is found in Galatians 4:6, and it's the Abba of acceptance. The Abba of acceptance. Says this, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba Father," Daddy God. It's such a powerful thing that God sends his Spirit to live inside of us. When we accept Christ, when we say to Jesus, "Lord, your way, not my way, forgive me of my sin, make me into a new creature, I give up my will to your will." When we do that, then Father God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He comes inside of us, and that Spirit then cries out to the Father, "Daddy, Daddy God." And it's one that indicates there is full acceptance. There is full love. There is no longer any rejection. When we're born into this world, we are born, I believe, into a spirit of rejection. We're born into a spirit of orphanhood. If you think about it, Adam and Eve in the garden, before the fall, before they decided to eat of the tree that God forbid them to eat, they lived in perfect relationship with Father God. They communed with Him. They didn't think about separation with Him. There was complete confidence in everything that they did. And the moment that they ate of the tree, something changed. The moment that they ate of the tree, they rejected God's will for them. They said to Him, "Lord, we're going to do it our way. We're not going to do it your way." And when that happened, sin entered the world and a wedge was driven between man and God. And so suddenly it says their eyes were opened and they saw their weakness. They saw their limitation. They saw their failure. They saw, it says, their nakedness, and they were ashamed. And when you and I are born into this world, we're born into this same understanding that I have something to be ashamed of because I am broken and I am separated from God. And when we come into His throne room of grace and when we receive Jesus into our hearts, that connection is restored. And His Spirit comes into us. And that same relationship that Adam and Eve had with Father God, we can have because of His acceptance that is full and complete. And no longer are we enemies with God, but now we're friends, and not only friends, but now we're sons and daughters. What a powerful thing. The daddy of acceptance, the Abba of acceptance. And when we say Abba Father, we can say it Daddy God, because the pain of rejection has been removed. And we found a place where our heart can finally come to rest. Our God has supplied all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful God that we have. You know, I just would want to pause just for a moment and thank God for His power, His grace, His acceptance, and His goodness. And so if you would, just bow your head right now, and I'm just going to give you just about 30 seconds for you, just between you and Him, just to begin to thank Him in your heart, with your voice, to express to Him your gratitude for who He is. Just to begin to tell Him thank you just with your lips right now. Just say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your great acceptance, oh God, that there's nowhere else that we need go except to you. Oh, Daddy God, we thank you today that you have given us a new identity as sons and daughters, that you have received us with open arms, that there's nowhere that we can go that is too far for your love, because it doesn't matter how deep the sea is or how high the heavens are, there you are today. And so we just say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you this morning. Thank you for Jesus who made the way for us to come back to you. We praise you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, and that's our Abba Father. I want to spend a few moments now talking about our earthly Father and honoring our earthly Father. And I know this morning, even though God calls us to honor our earthly dads, that many times our earthly dads fall far short. They have fallen far short in their relationship with us. That I know in this room today, there are people here that have been that are today estranged from their dad. You have a broken relationship with your dad. That because of something he's done or something you've done, because of a wound that he's put in your heart, that you know you guys are not even talking today. Some of you might not even know where your dad is today, or might never have even known your dad. And our earthly fathers many times have wounded us because of their imperfection. They've wounded us because of their lack, because they didn't know what to do. And we carry today, many of us, bruises of rejection, bruises that are inside us, and wounds that are gaping today because our dads just didn't make it the way that they were supposed to. And yet we're called to honor our fathers in the midst of that, to recognize that though they're imperfect, though they didn't do everything that they should have done, or they did things that they shouldn't have done, that still they're worthy of honor today. And so I just want to talk really quickly about five or six ways that we can honor our dads. And depending on your relationship with your dad, these may not all apply to your relationship. He may not have been there in all of these ways, but I can guarantee you he was there in at least one of these ways, and he's worthy of honor because of that. And so just quickly, let's look at these bullet points. The first one is the honor of giving life. The honor of giving life. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God said to Adam and Eve, hey, I love you so much that I'm going to give you, I'm going to cooperate with you, the power to procreate, the power to create life and give life. And there it is, an amazing gift that your father gave to you in life. That you would not be here today if it weren't for your father. And I have a philosophy background in education, and one of the things that I remember that we talked about on one of our many classes was that existence is better than non-existence. That the fact that you are here today is so much better than if you were not here today. And you can ask just about anyone in the world today, and except for those that are in the lowest moments of their life, everyone will tell you, yes, I am so glad that I am here. I am so glad. Your life may have been terrible, but yet your existence, your very ability to experience life is a wonderful thing. And that's why I think the argument against abortion along those lines just doesn't hold very much water. People say, you know, it's better not to bring children into the world if they're going to come into difficult circumstances. And I would just say, I don't buy that. I don't buy that, because life is a gift from God, and we do not know what is going to happen in the future. And I don't think anyone that is here this morning would have preferred to not have been brought in the world today, because life is a gift, and your father gave you that gift, and it's a wonderful gift. So that's the first honor that we give to our dad, the most basic. Dad, thanks that I am here today, that you may not have seen or expected or planned or done what you should have done or anything else. I'm here because of you, and I give you honor for that. The second point there is the honor of providing practical needs. Providing for practical needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I read these verses simply because our earthly dads are reflections of our heavenly dad. And to the degree that they function in these capacities is the degree that they actually echoed our Father God and were mirrors of him for us. Imperfect mirrors, no doubt, but mirrors they are. And when our dad provided for our perfect needs, I'm sorry, when he provided for our practical needs, then he did something that is worthy of honor. Your dad may have been a workaholic. Your dad may not have been in the home. Your dad may have not been the greatest guy, but if he provided for your practical needs of shelter and food, that is not an unimportant thing. That is very, very significant. And yes, he may have failed in other areas, but that is something that is worthy of honor. To have a dad that, even though he wasn't in the house, who sent that check every month of child support, that is worthy of honor. Think of all the dads that are not only not involved in the home life of the child, but they're also, what do you call them? Deadbeat dads? That's not worthy of honor. It's worthy of honor to provide for the needs of your kids. And so dads that do that are worthy of our honor. Thirdly, the honor of emotional engagement. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Jesus is speaking. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Dads that are engaged in their children's emotions are dads that are giving a wonderful and powerful gift to their kids. To be aware of what's going on in your kid's heart and to help them identify those emotions, to talk about them, to deal with them, boy, that's a powerful thing. Sometimes my kids, and they're little, and so they're still just figuring out life. And I'll see on one of their faces just a shadow, and I know something's going on. And many times they are not even aware of what it is. They just know they feel bad or they feel sad, but they don't have even the words to describe it yet. And I'll begin to engage them in a discussion about, hey, son, hey, daughter, what's happening? What are you feeling? Did something happen? Did somebody disappoint you? Were you expecting something? Did someone say something to you? And to have them, to give them that ability to begin to identify that concern, that worry, that fear, that disappointment, that anxiety, whatever it is that's going on, is a gift for them to be able to talk about what's going on inside, and for me to be able to be engaged on that level is a powerful thing. Helps them be self-aware, helps them have self-control, helps them be able to talk about what's going on inside, to deal with their emotions. That is worthy of honor if you had a dad that was engaged with you emotionally. Next, the honor of being there. The honor of being there. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Sometimes it was just nice to know that dad was there, right? I didn't necessarily need him in the room. I didn't need him to give me a hug. I didn't need him to say anything. I just needed to know that he was there. One of the great things today is I still have a dad that is there for me. And that's a powerful sense of security. That's a powerful sense of love that's communicated just by the very presence of a dad. And if your dad was there for you, if he was present there in the home, then that is worthy of honor. Next, the honor of showing the way. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We just read the stat at the beginning that fathers that lead the way spiritually in the home, 93% of their family are likely to follow him. And your relationship, Dad, with Father God is such an important thing because it models for your family the important value of that communion with Father God. And I just want to give honor to dads that are here this morning. You're here in church today. You're setting an example. You're showing the way for your family. Hey, you may not be perfect. I'm pretty sure you're not, right? That's not what your kids are looking for. Your kids are not looking for perfection. They can't expect perfection. None of us can. But to have a dad that knows how to fail, to have a dad that shows a way on how to turn and repent, to have a dad that knows where to go when he's out of his depth range, that he doesn't know where the answers are, and he goes to a God that has the answers, those things are all worthy of honor. To have a dad that's showing the way. So that's something that we give honor to today. And then lastly there, the honor of unconditional acceptance and forgiveness. This is a powerful thing. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." When your dad can express to you as best as we're able to as human beings, that no matter what you do, you're still my son, you're still my daughter, and I'm still going to love you, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. And that's, you know, my goal to communicate is to communicate to my kids that, you know what, I may not be happy with every decision you make. I may not be thrilled with some of the things that you do in life, but I will never break relationship with you. That I will never not accept you. That I will never not love you. That no matter what, I love you. That is powerful. That is powerful. That's the love that Father God shares with us. And as to the degree that we can do that, boy, that is worthy of honor. If you had a dad that expressed it to you, even though it was imperfect, that is something that's worthy of honor. And this morning, what I want to do is I've asked a couple of people to write letters to their dads, and I just want to share those with you or have them share those with you. And so I'm going to ask, I believe it's Daniel Vargas Jr., Gene Hull, and Rachel Santana to join me up here, and I'm going to ask them to read their letters that they wrote to their dads of honor and of acceptance of love. Albert, would you mind passing me one of those mics? And as they do, just realize that some of these dads are no longer with us. They're in heaven. Some of these people have great relationships with their dads, and some have had strained relationships with their dads. We have relationships at all different types of levels, but we can all give honor and express love to dad. So, Dan, you're going to be first.
Many of you probably know my father, Daniel Vargas. But here's what I wrote. My dad.
Hold on. Daniel, are you here? He's
right there.
Where's he at?
He's in the back.
All right. He's in the sound booth there. Okay.
Yeah. My dad, father, dictator, overlord of the house. He has many names. When he wants something, he gets it. And trust me, he gets it. Loving, impatient, and he may not know it, but he's imperfect. But most importantly, I couldn't ask God for a better father. We may joke around, have awkward talks, or butt heads. Actually, we butt heads a lot. But when there is something wrong I just can't do, I'm going to mess up, or I did mess up, I always run to Daddy. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you.
My letter to my dad. Hi, Dad. Hope heaven is working well for you. I don't remember writing you any letters, but on this Father's Day, just wanted to say thanks for some things. Thanks for modeling the love and passion a man has for his wife. Loving Mom the way you did showed me how to love Leanne. Thanks for spending time with me. I enjoyed spending time camping, fishing, and family vacations, and I am committed to spending time with my family and putting them first because of your model. Thanks for modeling Christ. Dad, you had a heart for the lost and those folks that had less than us. Even though we didn't have a lot to give, you were a cheerful giver of all you had. In April of 2002, when you were diagnosed with cancer, you modeled faith and prayer. I believed you would be healed here on earth. As time went on, your faith stayed strong and mine not so much. Dad, it was very difficult to watch you go from a big, strong man to a weak, frail man in just 6 months. I remember the day I was in your bedroom and I began crying uncontrollably. You asked me to sit in the chair next to your bed and you modeled the blessing. You took my hand in yours and looked me in the eyes and said, "Son, don't be angry with God. Keep raising the boys in church. And call your mom just to talk." So, Dad, you were a role model for me in life. And something I never got to tell you was you were a role model to me in your death. So thanks, Dad. I love you and I miss you. Your son.
I got my dad it's funny that this happened because I got my dad a card, and it's a man in front of a barbecue pit with a big fire going out, and it says on the inside, "For all the moments when you were better than cable, Happy Father's Day." On the inside, I said, "Happy Father's Day, Pop. Thank you for being my dad. I know that your dad was never really involved in your life, and through raising me and my sister, you did the best that you knew how. Thank you for always being there, even when you were scared out of your mind. Thank you for being there for me and my sister when we really needed you. For that, I'm truly thankful to God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your lessons of life and the sacrifices you made to make a better life for our family. I love you. Your kid, Rachel."
Thank you, guys. James says, "Faith without works is dead," and sometimes it's just good to do an exercise. And so I've asked these people to write some letters, and just so appreciate that they did. But also, I want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. And so I've asked the ushers if they'd come, and they have note cards just like this, and they may not be the most beautiful thing in the world, but they just say "Dad" on the front, and they're blank inside. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to take a few moments. We're just going to take about 4 or 5 minutes, and have you write something to your dad. And I don't know where you're at in your relationship with your dad. You may not have a great relationship. You may be struggling with this whole concept of even listening to the idea of honoring your father. We can all honor our father even though there be pain and there be rejection. Your dad may not be here any longer. It may have been 20 or 30 or more years since he has died, but I would encourage you still to write a letter of honor to your dad as an exercise of communicating to him, to your Father God, to yourself, that respect, that love, and that honor that you have for him. So as they're passing these out, there's pens if you need a pen. There's a card. Please just take one card so there's enough for everyone. And as you begin to write, I'm going to have Dennis, I've asked him to lead a song just to begin to fill the air with a sense of worship. And I'm going to pray that as you do this exercise in faith, because sometimes you may not be feeling it. I know there's someone here today that you're not feeling it for your dad. But as you do this in faith, in obedience to Father God, who says, honor your father, I believe that he is going to combine with your faith and make something happen that can't happen otherwise. So let me just pray for you as you begin to do this. Lord Jesus, I just pray that in these next few minutes that we take, that we set aside for the purpose of honoring our earthly dads, Lord, we're doing this in the belief and the trust that what you've asked us to do is right, that you've called us to honor our fathers. And so we do that. Lord, I pray that you would bring to our mind experiences with our dad, bring to our mind facts that we can point to show that we respect and honor him. And as we do that, Lord, we trust that you're going to lead us in Jesus' name.
Changed a heart as hard as mine. I tried to turn away to hide the hand you gave, but you refused to leave my side. Wonderful God, wonderful God, wonderful Savior, wonderful. None could be found. Wonderful Savior, wonderful God. Undeserving grace, you stole my heart away. Forever I am yours, my King. Draws me once again to stand before you now and say, wonderful God, wonderful God, wonderful Savior, wonderful love, who could compare, none could be found, wonderful Savior. Wonderful God, wonderful God. Who could compare? None could be found. Wonderful Savior, wonderful God, wonderful Savior, wonderful God, wonderful Savior, wonderful God, wonderful God. Said you never leave me, and you never did. Say I have a future, and there's a life for me to live. Lord, I wanna praise you and say, wonderful God, wonderful.
Still writing, I just ask you to pause for just a moment, and you can continue after we're finished, but if you would just stand with me as we come to the conclusion of the service. Let's just take a second, and every person bow your head, close your eyes if you would. I just want to give you an opportunity. We've been talking about fathers, and we've been talking about Father God, and you may not have a relationship with Father God today. You're here this morning, and you didn't come necessarily looking for what I'm about to talk about. You didn't come expecting to find it, but you recognize that as I've been talking about having a relationship with Father God, that you don't. That there's something missing in your life. That you've tried to do it on your own. You've gone all the places that you thought you should go. You might even come to church regularly, but you don't have that relationship with Father God that you need. That is possible today for you. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you this morning. Just raise your hand just between me, you, and God, saying, I'm going to make that decision this morning. I see those hands in the back. Just keep them up just for a second. That you're saying, I want that relationship today. I've never understood what that's like, but I'm going to grab that on today. If you would, and let's just all repeat this prayer together. Lord Jesus, today I give myself to you. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for seeking my own way. I ask that you would wash me of sin. I submit to you. I say, Daddy God, your way is best. Come and change me. Give me that relationship. Oh, Lord, we pray today for every single person here that you would bless them and keep them, that you would secure them in Jesus' name. Now, if you would, all dads, just raise your hands just very quickly as we end the service. All dads in the house, Lord, I pray a blessing over every father in the house today. I pray, God, that you would fill their minds with wisdom from heaven, that as they talk with their kids, Lord, that there would be a wisdom that would flow not from their spirit, but from your spirit. I pray for strength, oh God, for them, for the challenges that they're facing and the challenges that they'll face ahead. I pray for health in their bodies. Lord, as they are fathers, I pray that they would look to you as the Father and that you would provide for every need that they have. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If you need prayer, we'll be down here up front. Enjoy the barbecue. They're out there. I don't know if there'll be enough tri-tip for everybody, so you better get in line quick. God bless you guys.